This is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So Monday, the high is 32, and there's a 40% chance of precip, I'm saying. So less than 50-50. And then only 20% the next day when it's going to be even colder.
Yeah. So Morgan Palmer said we have a chance of seeing the coldest temperatures in a decade next week. But not as much. Yeah. So not as much snow. So not big snow.
Dang it.
I know. And I did use the word big snow, and it's not as big.
Oh, well.
Maybe not even much.
Oh, well. I got to take my Christmas tree down.
I haven't done that either.
I was going to save it for the snow, but but I got to take
it. Are your lights going to stay up for a while?
They're still up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't we just, although it's not great for the environment, but why can't we just leave them up? Like,
oh, it's not bad. I've got the LED lights.
Okay, so why not just leave it up? Because, I feel like it's just so.
Because it dilutes the specialness of Christmas.
Okay.
That's my argument for eventually taking everything down, because then next Thanksgiving Day, when it all goes up, I'll be all happy again. This light rail story, the Sound Transit story,
I chuckled.
Has there been a story that reveals how this region has lost its mind than to say that it's sexist for Sound Transit to switch from a female to a male voice on their announcements at the stations? Look, I hate Sound Transit with a fiery passion, but to criticize them of sexism, but let me
explain. Some people just thought that the woman's voice was just more pleasant.
Here's the woman's voice.
Next stop, Pioneer Spring Station.
Yeah, it's a very soft voice. Mm-hmm. It's not that authoritative. And here's their new male voice.
Riders traveling towards University of Washington must change trains at Pioneer Square Station.
That cuts through the ambiance or the ambient sound, I should say. And if you want people to hear announcements, the male voice is easier to hear. But I'm telling you, I watched these news stories about this. And
I know there were a few complaints. I added it just for a chuckle.
But listen to these. Listen to how ridiculous some people are about this. Cairo 7, our news partners, they were out there.
Did notice that, right. It's a guy now voice from a woman. So, I mean, I don't think it's sexist, but I don't know.
I think it's silly that they changed it in the first place.
Okay. One person didn't want change. Dee Dee Sun read some of the mean tweets.
People online, a bit more outspoken. This tweet calls it that new monstrous voice and begs, please, for the love of God, make it stop. This asks Sound Transit, is it possible to turn them off? Another says, at Sound Transit, sexist much? And this request, can you turn that S down or go back to the nice lady?
Sexist much? Who writes stuff like that? But here's the larger issue. It is this male bad, female good. And that's a bunch of crap. Women are wonderful. Men are wonderful. We have different attributes. We have this push to feminize all men, to masculinize all women. It sucks. It's not good for kids. It's not good for society to do this. We each have different attributes. Men have stuff encoded in our DNA that makes us want to go to Costco. Women have stuff encoded in their DNA that makes them nest when they're about to have a kid. And we're different. We're biologically different. We are emotionally different. And this neutering of everybody, but it's just the knee-jerk. Men, bad. Women, wonderful. No, they're all wonderful in their own way. Individuals, some individuals are bad. Some individuals are fantastic and even better than most. But
for some, maybe that woman's voice. Yeah, and I hate generalizations. But the woman's voice maybe just was more pleasant. At least Sound Transit did turn down the volume.
But the woman's voice doesn't cut through the ambient sound.
Well, and that wasn't the whole point. I mean, we have cuts from the woman, the spokesperson, explaining why they did it. And they
It's because there's changes right now.
Here she is.
The decision was made to change the voice of the announcements, basically just to get people's attention.
Okay, yeah, something new that perks up your ears.
Whenever we can, we will, you know, address those complaints. But I think for now, the announcements will stay.
And what she meant by that was on the volume. So if they say it's too loud, then they'll try to adjust if people think it's too loud.
Just anybody who goes on Twitter or anywhere else and says that because they changed from a female to a male announcer somehow is sexism. That's just one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And but again, it's all about this overall thing where men can't be portrayed positively in media, and they always have to be the butt of the family jokes. And then you have a show like Last Man Standing, where the dad's actually pretty cool and pretty funny and pretty smart, and that show succeeds wildly after decades of the guy always has to be the buffoon.
In his previous show, Tim Allen, in his previous show, he was the buffoon.
Was he? I never saw that one.
Home Improvement?
No, I never saw it. But what? I love this new one.
Oh, but he was a buffoon.
New one. It's been on for like eight years. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, got the Seahawks coming up. We had just had Pete Carroll on the last half hour. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everybody to go read a long profile of Pete Carroll that is in this morning's New York Times. Pete Carroll wants to change your life. And it talks about the things that have made him so successful as the Seahawks coach, that he and his business partner Michael Gervais, who's like a performance psychology expert. We had Michael on a couple of months ago on this show. But Pete and Michael Gervais, they started working with Microsoft, and now they just work with individuals on trying to help people achieve the same level of maximum potential
that
they try to get out. I've always been fascinated with that whole field. But
is this new or is this different from what he was doing down in Southern California?
It is very new, or very new and different. Yeah. He started, Paul Allen asked him to talk to Microsoft executives, and then the new CEO of Microsoft wanted him to meet with the 12 people who respond directly to the CEO, and now they have it available to all their workers, and it's just about peak performance. But anyway, it's a great New York Times story that ran this morning, and it's worth your time if you can get past the paywall at the New York Times. And also, because it's Blue Friday, we are asking you to go to mynorthwest.com/win and submit a Blue Friday photo of yourself in Seahawks gear for a chance to win a Seahawks Pro Shop gift card. Thanks to our friends at the Seahawks Pro Shop. They want to get you ready for the Seahawks playoffs matchup this weekend. Details and rules for our Blue Friday photo contest at mynorthwest.com/win. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So we had a big surprise right at the very end of the show yesterday. Adam Smith, congressman, he was on CNN yesterday morning, and he said, it's time for Pelosi to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. A lot of Democrats have been saying that. It's just she's been playing games. And she's also been trying to use it to kind of leverage a different result out of the Senate. And Adam Smith on CNN also said that, the House shouldn't impact the Senate and the Senate shouldn't impact the House. They're supposed to be different.
Is it time, Chairman?
I think it is. I mean, I understand what the Speaker is trying to do, basically trying to use the leverage of that to work with Democratic and Republican senators to try to get a reasonable trial, a trial that would actually, show evidence, bring out witnesses. But at the end of the day, just like we control it in the House, Mitch McConnell controls it in the Senate. I think it was perfectly advisable.
So right there, you said, we control what happens in the House, Mitch McConnell controls the Senate. We don't control each other.
The Speaker to try to leverage that, to get a better deal. At this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And yes, I think it is time to send the impeachment to the Senate and let Mitch McConnell be responsible for the fairness of the trial. He ultimately is.
Okay, so an hour later, Adam Smith sent out a tweet that said, I misspoke this morning. I do believe we should do everything we can to try to force the Senate to have a fair trial. If the Speaker believes that holding on to the articles for a longer time will help force a fair trial in the Senate, then I wholeheartedly support that decision. And I was, you know, pretty hard on the congressman because I said that sounds pretty feckless. He says something on CNN, clearly, unequivocally. An hour later, he tweets something that's seemingly 180 degrees different. And anyway, he called into the show right at the end, right before we went
I
off the air.
I love the fact that, and you talked about that yesterday, that he is willing to take the fire if there's going to be fire.
I wish every politician would do this, and it was a good conversation. But having just played what he said on CNN and read his tweet an hour later, does this explanation make sense? You essentially said the House shouldn't control the Senate shouldn't control the House. It's time.
I said two things. I said, first of all, I think it's perfectly appropriate that the Speaker has held these up to try to force McConnell to have a fairer process.
Yes.
I said, I think that's the appropriate thing to do. I think we've reached the point where it's obvious that that's not going to happen, and it's probably time to send those articles over. Then I got a bunch of calls from a bunch of constituents saying, you know, why are you not supporting Nancy? Why are you not supporting the process? I said, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying.
Okay, and I don't believe that. I don't think he changed his mind because he got calls from constituents. Like everyone else, I think that House leadership called him on the floor for this. And
but he flat out said Nancy Pelosi did not call him. He did not get a call.
She might not have.
But somebody
called him. Somebody in leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just didn't buy this.
It's really a question of timing. I don't question the strategy. We've tried it. We're probably getting to the point where we need to send them over. And the thing that I said in answer to the question that, in retrospect, didn't accurately reflect my opinion was I didn't mean we have to send them over.
And that's odd. What I said didn't accurately reflect my opinion. He's been a congressman for 22 years. I think he knows how to say things that accurately reflect his opinion. But when he said, I misspoke, I think if the speaker believes holding on to the articles for a longer time will help force a trial, fair trial in the Senate, then I support that decision. That none of that makes any sense to me. But
you know what's happened today?
No.
Well, Nancy Pelosi says the House will take steps next week and will send articles of impeachment. Yeah,
she's going to send them over next week.
Yeah.
But everybody knows that it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. It's going to die, and it's all going to be over and done with, and it's going to be just another, you know, like the Russia thing, like everything else. It's just been a huge distraction that got people all tingly because they hate Trump, and it's nothing. It turns out to be absolutely nothing. By the way, we got a lot of good press here. FoxNews.com getting national press.
There you go.
Yeah, how about that? Where's my quote? He has no courage of his convictions, and he had to deny his own words an hour later, said Dory Monson. And then they have a quote from Adam Smith from when he called in to us. So we're making big national news here. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Which is great.
Oh, it's awesome. Couldn't be better. Up next in the Fastest 15. I did a search to see during 2016 when Donald Trump was running for president the first time if the media did any stories like this about Donald Trump. I couldn't find it. I had the CBS News. That's our network.
Mm.
You know, okay. You know how I love our network here.
I love them.
Headline: Elizabeth Warren never washes her face and other 2020 skincare routines. From CBS News.
That was also on The Independent, HuffPost.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it initially from Cosmo?
It was from Cosmo. Yeah.
Okay, that would explain.
Elizabeth Warren shocked the internet Thursday when it was revealed that she does not wash her face. The Massachusetts senator known for her flawless...
I didn't know she was known for... You're bad. I didn't notice her flawless skin, but...
That's what she's known for. No, she's known for faking being a Native American so that she could move up in academia. That's what she's known for. But let me get back to CBS News. Because these are the big boys. These are the network people here. So far be it for me to question them. The Massachusetts senator, known for her flawless complexion, shared a skincare secret that many who have followed her have been wondering about. Pond's moisturizer.
Good old Pond's. Tried and true.
Did they do any fluff stories like that about Trump? I couldn't find any.
Yes, actually. Did find some.
Okay, what?
This is actually on NPR.
What?
Donald Trump's hair care secrets. Okay, you want to know a couple?
Yeah, I do.
He washes with Head and Shoulders.
Okay.
He doesn't dry it, though, because that would dry his scalp out.
Okay.
Takes about an hour. Then he reads the paper, watches TV, you know, loves Fox, Morning Joe.
Yeah.
Today Show.
Yep.
And then he says, and then I comb my hair. Yes, I do use a comb. Do I comb it forward? No, I don't comb it forward. I actually don't have a bad hairline. When you think about it, it's not bad. I mean, I get a lot of credit for comb overs, but it's not really one. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a comb over. Pretty bad. That's a pretty bad
so comb over. That was NPR.
You know, they ended up asking all of the candidates about their skincare. And Bernie Sanders, they said, his routine, he said, is, quote, not much. Asked whether he moisturizes, he says, I put something on. I got something. The doctor gave me something years ago. I put it on. I'm not quite sure.
Like I want to know.
That's a helpful
tip. Do they use old-fashioned toothbrushes or Sonicare?
I know. We need to know. Come on, get on it, CBS.
But you know what? I can't wait till you cover the conventions. You're going to be doing those sidebar stories, trying to come up with interesting things.
I know, but I'm a talk show host. I'm not a journalist.
This is from Cosmo.
But if we get Trump on again.
CBS News rewrote it for their website.
We're doing that question. If we get Trump on again, we're doing that question. That'll go
skincare?
Viral.
Skincare? Yeah.
No, the toothbrush.
Okay.
Skincare's been done.
Okay. Finally, I just loved this. A couple nights ago when those missiles were flying at the military bases. You know who Dick Vitale is?
Uh-huh.
College basketball analyst.
Sure.
Everybody loves Dickie V. I mean, he's impossible not to love. He's just so full of passion and... This is just one of the funniest tweets I've ever read in my life. This is what he sent that night. Like many, I've been following the news involving the attacks on Al-Assad bases by Iraq and Iran. Also, I've been checking Hoop News, and four teams should get a tip of the hat. Rutgers, Providence, Maryland, Boston College, they had W's tonight, baby!
Quite the segue.
I just love it. I just absolutely love that tweet. And that is your Fastest 50.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Seattle talk show host, known for his flawless complexion. You know what my skincare technique is? I use that all-in-one, it's a shampoo and body wash.
Like Suave?
Yeah, Suave. It is Suave, as a matter of fact. Put about a quarter of that in my hand. I get my hair all foamy, and then I use the foam to wash the rest of my body. It's very efficient. It's unbelievably efficient, and I'm springtime fresh. Okay, we got lots more to do. What are we doing next here, Nicole? Should we do something fun?
Let's do it.
I want to do something fun on a Friday. Okay, stick around. You'll find out. Making a new playlist last night, musically. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I have a few songs from the last few years, but like most people, I think the music that I cared about the very most when I was, 16, had a car and was driving around singing to my cassettes at the top of my lungs, into my 20s. That's the time that just where music has the greatest emotional impact because you connect it with these life events that are such emotional highs. And music is incredibly evocative. I've mentioned this before. I don't remember the song, but I remember a few years ago. I was driving and a song came on. And I immediately remember, I was driving at the top of Holman Road in Ballard in 1978.
You probably remember the weather that day.
It's about a 5-second snippet. It's like just a little YouTube 5-second thing in my brain. And there was nothing exceptional about the moment at all. But I just remember the song was on. And I remember exactly where I were. I know where I were.
Yeah.
when I heard that song.
That was a misspoke.
I misspeaked.
That was an actual
misspoke. So anyway, and I was thinking, I don't know that music's ever going to be the, you know, the galvanizing force that it used to be, because like everything else in our media consumption, it's so fragmented. You know, nobody watches, unless it's sports. Sports is, I just saw something fascinating. 15, 20 years ago, 40 of the top 100 TV shows in the country were sporting events.
Really?
Last year, it was 94 of the top 100. Because sporting events are the only thing that bring everybody together still, and that you want to watch live. Everything
that,
else.
And sadly, disasters.
And disasters. But that, I don't even know how you quantify news coverage. So as far as programmed television, that's about the only thing that's galvanizing. So music, it's just too fragmented now. Anyway, the reason I'm rambling on about all of this is because Billboard.com, which is kind of the definitive keeper of music, you know, you sell a million records, it's the Billboard charts that are tracking all of this. Billboard, as the new decade began, they released their list of the top rock songs of the decade just ended. You're probably wondering who's on the list here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Number...
And do you agree with it?
Well, that's the...
Let me play some of these, and we'll see if everybody agrees or disagrees. Okay. Number 10, top rock song of the decade, was... Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. No idea what that is. Number 9, Ride by 21 Pilots. Number 6, Heathens by 21 Pilots. I don't know if I could name any of these songs.
Yes, that one.
Is this a rock song?
Wait for them to yes. You play on a rock station.
No. It's a real rock station there.
Well, it definitely is top 40 because I usually listen to top 40 if I'm doing music.
Well, yeah, pop, I could say. But this isn't rock.
You're equating rock with only, like, headbanging?
No. No, but I just know, you know, it's like pornography. You know it when you see it?
Oh.
That's the Supreme Court said. That's not me. Rock, I know it when I hear it, and this ain't rock. Okay, so anyway, 21 Pilots had three of the spots. Let's see here. The number 4 rock song of the decade. High Hopes by Panic at the Disco. This is rocking now. Oh, the number 5 rock song.
See, I would put that in alternative.
Hey! Here's the number 5 rock song of the decade. I've been trying to do it right. Hey!
I've been living a lonely life. What would you say is the best decade for rock?
70s.
Okay, so you want me to tell you the top 10 in, or top 5 in 1970?
Not quite. Let me get to the number top 3 here, and then I want to hear it. Okay, and then the top 3 spots, the three best rock songs of the decade. Number 3, Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. Number 2, Thunder by Imagine Dragons. And number 1, First Things First, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm Believer by Imagine Dragons. The top 3 rock songs of the decade. You know what? This gets back to what I was talking about with the change in the voice at the Sound Transit station. This is the ultimate extension of the feminization of all men in our society. If a broad swath of people, including guys, listen to garbage like this, then the feminization of men is complete. The neutering of our society is well along.
Or tastes have just changed. And by the way, Imagine Dragons and Panic at the Disco both describe themselves as American pop rock band.
This isn't rock. This is not rock. Hey, what were the top ones in the 70s?
So in 75, the top, well, I'm going to give you
the
top six.
The whole decade.
Well, okay. Well, okay.
Okay, well, just
well, I don't know if I have that list.
Just give me what you're in the heart of that decade. Okay.
So in the heart of the decade. Mm-hmm. So number six is LaBelle. Number five is Queen. Number four is Shirley Queen. And Company. Number three is 10cc. Number two is Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And number one is the Four Seasons.
Okay, none of those are rock. Are those labeled rock?
That's top 100 rock and roll songs in 1975.
Sean, are these rock?
Oh, these are rock.
No, of the music that we've been hearing, I wouldn't really say they're rock. I'd say they're more pop or alternative.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they induct everybody.
True.
Who, you don't even have to be rock and roll. So this is just a mixed up crazy world.
So really maybe the problem is top Billboard.
It's Billboard. It's the feminization of our society, right there. men just aren't men anymore. If this is the kind of stuff the Imagine Dragons. Here, if this is what they're listening to. Oh wait, here's a new one I didn't even play. Where were they on the list? Is the band called?
Okay, why don't you just what's your ultimate true rock song
in the last decade?
Yes. Okay, how about even the last 30 years?
I'd have to sit and figure it out. But I got a bunch on my
You just
car,
know what it's not.
My car driving playlist.
Okay.
Yeah, Boston.
Jump?
Boston. Yeah, Van Halen.
Foreigner.
Van Halen. Foreigner, yeah, pretty good. Like even...
Heart. Okay, your definition of rock's too narrow.
I'll go with Heart. I'll go with Heart as rock. By the way, if you want the greatest listening experience ever, take 7 minutes out of your life and watch Heart when they were inducting the Led Zeppelin into the Kennedy Center Honors. It is simply the great, as they did their version of Stairway to Heaven. It is the greatest crafted musical live performance ever.
Okay,
ever.
I'm going to listen.
Oh, you go watch that. You will have tears streaming down your face.
I bet I will. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think Heart might be my all-time favorite rock group.
And Ann Wilson is one of the definitive female rock voices of all time. Without just an incredible voice. But oh, go listen to her singing Stairway to Heaven at Kennedy Center Honors in front of the members of Led Zeppelin. No, I thought we had the Led Zeppelin. What are we doing here? I got tossed a break for crying out loud. We got lots more straight ahead here in the Dory Monson Show. I got a story. You are not going to believe this one. A McDonald's, this one happens to be over in the United Kingdom, a McDonald's goofed up a customer's order. Oh, stop the presses! It's big news. I know, they've probably goofed up your order once or twice over the years, right? Sometimes they make little mistakes. But this has become international news. And that's because the customer whose order was goofed up, Fida Hussein, he's 49 years old. He's a Muslim man, and he says he is devastated. He's demanding an apology and money compensation after he bit into a pork sausage McMuffin that McDonald's accidentally served him. He said he immediately knew something was wrong when he took a bite of the pork, and he said it left him devastated. He said, "I trusted them. I was watching Judge Judy and bit into the McMuffin and knew instantly when I tasted it that it was meat. The taste was horrible. I knew straight away and spat it out. It's just completely wrong. It's a sensitive subject. It could happen to anyone, vegan, or if a person is on a particular diet. He went in. They exchanged the sausage muffin for just an egg and cheese muffin, which is what he ordered. But he says it's not enough. He also wants money from McDonald's. Just a thought. I'm just throwing this out there. If you have tremendous food restrictions, whether they be dietary or religious, shouldn't you just check out what you're eating before you eat? Because I just thought it was so hilarious. A McDonald's goofed up a customer's order in England, and this somehow become international news. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, how about this? Jeffrey Epstein, who committed suicide in that New York jail. Now we find out that they said that he attempted suicide a couple of weeks prior. And they had surveillance video of it. No longer. The surveillance video of Jeffrey Epstein's supposed first suicide attempt has been accidentally destroyed due to an error. Does anybody still believe this guy committed suicide? After all of this, the jail guards who were supposed to check on him, they didn't. The cameras that were supposed to be trained on him were turned off. This is a guy who knew about the Clintons, the royal family, their connection to pedophiles, and he had to be rubbed out, or dangled out in this case. So anyway, yet another problem with Jeffrey Epstein, as his first suicide attempt video has been accidentally deleted due to a clerical error. Odd. Big lead to two next.